innovative dog chews and treats are all the rage these days. Despite the claims of their sellers, most of these products are new twists on an old theme, taking the parts of food animals that we typically discard as inedible waste, called byproducts, and then turning them into expensive and often highly sought after dog treats. A few examples are bully sticks, pig's ears, pig and cow hooves, cod skins, and the topic of this essay, beef gullets or esophagus, and trachea. In addition to coming in a dried form as a chew or as a jerky, the entire neck regions of beef, lamb, chicken, turkey, and other food animals are also included in some commercial and homemade raw diets. Some are even included in extruded or dry foods. The question for us today is, are these byproducts, these gullets and trachea, these necks, are they safe for dogs to consume as treats or when in a food? The answer to this question has to do with animal anatomy, specifically with an organ called the thyroid gland. So here's a quick anatomy lesson. The thyroid gland is a small organ that wraps around the upper portion of an animal's trachea, their windpipe. When a cow is dissected to produce human-grade meat, the trachea and esophagus are removed together as byproducts. Although a law passed in 1986 prohibits the inclusion of these byproducts, the esophagus and the trachea, in human foods, these animal parts can be used and are continued to be used in pet foods and in pet treats. That's exactly where they end up. So, thyroid tissue contains the hormone thyroxine, which will not be destroyed by a dog's gastric acid or digestive enzymes. It is absorbed into the body and it remains active. If a dog consumes enough thyroxine from their diet, an elevation in circulating thyroid hormone called T4 occurs and the dog develops hyperthyroidism, or more technically correct, thyroid toxicosis. Interestingly, some dogs develop elevated serum thyroxine but do not show clinical signs. However, many dogs do develop signs. These include weight loss, hyperactivity, excessive panting, and polydipsia polyuria, which is the technical term for increased drinking and increased urination. So we ask, is this a problem that owners should be concerned with? Some recent studies suggest that some dogs may actually be at risk of developing thyroid toxicosis if they are fed certain types of foods, diets, or treats. So first, a case study paper reported elevated plasma thyroxine levels in 12 dogs that were being fed either a raw diet or large amounts of fresh or dried beef gullet. Clinical signs of hyperthyroidism were reported in half of the dogs. Following diagnosis, owners of most of the dogs switched them to a commercial dry food and stopped feeding beef gullets. Veterinary rechecks 2 weeks and 2 months later showed that plasma thyroxine concentrations had returned to normal in all these dogs and clinical signs had resolved in the dogs that had them. Follow-up was possible with only one owner that did not change their dog's diet. Repeated thyroid hormone tests showed elevated levels several months following diagnosis, and the dog continued to experience chronic weight loss and other signs. At that point, that owner did switch their dog to another food and clinical signs resolved. So that is a case study. Two more cases were reported shortly afterwards. In the first, an 11-month-old Rottweiler was examined for signs of weight loss, excessive panting, and increased blood thyroxine levels. A complete dietary history revealed that that dog was being fed a commercial raw diet. After switching the dog to a commercial dry food, his signs resolved, and blood thyroxine levels returned to normal. In a second study, a 2-year-old female miniature pincher was examined for a failure to come into estrus or heat. This dog was fed a homemade raw diet that included beef cuts from the head and neck region purchased from a local butcher shop. This dog, too, had highly elevated serum thyroxine levels. Changing this dog's food led to normalization of serum thyroxine and normal estrus cycles. Finally, a study published in the Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association reported findings of thyrotoxicosis in 14 dogs who were fed either a commercial raw diet or a variety of different types of jerky beef or bison chews. Clinical signs resolved and thyroid hormone levels were normalized within 4 weeks of discontinuing the suspected products. And in this case, the authors of the study were able to obtain 7 samples of the brands of food or treats that the owners were feeding. And when tested, all of these products did have elevated thyroxine levels when compared with other control foods. So the authors ended this paper with this statement, quote, "The presence of high thyroxine concentrations in a variety of pet foods or treats that are sold under different labels suggests that the problem of thyroid tissue contamination of such items may be widespread and not confined to only a few products or manufacturers," end quote. Just recently, a follow-up study was conducted and published. That study found that beef or bison-based diets, either cooked or raw, plus the regular feeding of beef or bison jerky treats were the most common underlying source of excessive thyroxine in the dogs who developed diet-related thyroid toxicosis. So let's take a quick break here before discussing these results and their implications for feeding our dogs. Okay, we're back. So, a quick disclaimer. Let me state up front that these research results are by no means presented as a personal vendetta against feeding a raw diet. Those of you who have read my book Dog Food Logic and follow the Science Dog blog know that my position is that there are many approaches to feeding dogs healthfully, and that a well-balanced, properly selected, properly sourced and handled raw diet can be one of those approaches. However, the evidence here strongly suggests that diet-induced thyroid toxicosis can be a result of feeding diets or treats or chews that contain excessively high concentrations of the hormone thyroxine. The source of that thyroxine is an animal's thyroid gland if it was not dissected out during preparation of the animal parts that were used in the food or the treat. Because some raw diets, both commercially prepared and homemade, include a large proportion of beef, chicken, or turkey necks, dogs fed these foods or chews may be at increased risk of hyperthyroidism. That also goes for these treats called gullets and trachea that are dried chews or treats that we see on the market today. There's also another point to be made here. This is about where I drag out my soapbox on the blog and warn my readers that we are moving from science and evidence into my own personal opinion. And I do have a personal opinion on this matter. In this particular case, it has to do with data reported in the third study that I addressed earlier. That study involved 14 dogs living in homes in the United States. All 14 of the dogs were reported to being fed commercially prepared raw foods at the time of their diagnosis. These were foods, then, that the owners purchased from a company, trusting that the products they were buying would not only provide good nutrition to their dogs, but that they were safe to feed. This really should not be such a high bar to clear, should it? Yet it repeatedly seems to be so for the pet food industry today. Here's the thing. The knowledge that the presence of animal thyroid tissue in foods can cause hyperthyroidism and clinical signs that go along with it is not new information. Outbreaks of diet-induced hyperthyroidism in people are well documented and are the reason that gullet trimming as a source of ground beef was outlawed in the 1980s. In other words, gullets that include the thyroid gland of food animals have not been allowed in human foods since the 1980s. Yet, these tissues are still allowed in the foods that we feed to our companion animals, that we feed to our dogs and cats. Why the heck is this? Call me a rebel, but I maintain, and state this often on the Science Dog blog, that pet owners should be able to easily discover exactly what is in the pet foods that they feed to their dogs, including the source and quality of the food's protein ingredients. Yet this information is rarely provided, and requests to companies are often ignored, denied, or responded to with evasive platitudes and assurances. Moreover, based upon what we've seen in this episode, dog owners should also be assured that the foods and treats that we feed to our dogs do not contain thyroid hormone and do not increase our dog's risk of developing thyroid toxicosis. For heaven's sakes, if we have been banning the inclusion of thyroid gland in foods that are produced for human consumption for 40 years, why ever would we not be doing the same thing for foods that we are feeding to our dogs and our cats, especially now knowing that dogs may suffer the consequences of this? So when asked, got gullet for our dogs, let's really hope not. The title of the complete essay on this topic is found on the Science Dog blog as Got Gullet. Complete references can also be found on that essay on the blog. To read it, just visit thesciencedog.com. That's thesciencedog.com.